Safety Program with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens, joined by Eric Early. Very, very excited to have him on, as well as Mike Netter. You heard him before. We did an entire hour where we discussed Los Angeles. We discussed government corruption, the economy, and the appropriate way to view it, the blessings of this country, and the people that want to steal them away and tear this place down to the ground. Speaking of one of those people, Gavin Newsom, and this is what I really want to ask Eric Early about. I want to ask Mike Netter about. Let me introduce Eric real quick. Eric, you are running for Attorney General for California for 2022. You were, one of the main people in the 2020 election cycle, running against Adam Schiff for Congress for the 28th Congressional District. You're the co-owner and managing partner of a 25-lawyer nationally recognized law firm, which litigates in courts throughout America. We're very, very excited to have you on. I want to ask you guys right to start. I want to ask both of you. We'll get Eric first and then Mike about Gavin Newsom. Mike, I know we already talked about this, but this story is just insane. And this angers me so deeply. Gavin Newsom, he's putting up abortion tourism billboards in seven states. So what they've done is this. California Governor Gavin Newsom, this is from Breitbart, everybody. I highly recommend Breitbart News for a lot of news. They do such a tremendous job over there in Britain. And Breitbart, they do such a great job. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced Thursday that his reelection campaign had paid for billboards in seven of the most restrictive anti-abortion states that explain how women can access care no matter where they live. That's what he's kind of promoting. It's so funny. At the same time that these states are like everybody's leaving California, at the same time that there's this mass exodus from Los Angeles, from California. We saw the Daily Wire leave. We saw Tesla leave. We saw Joe Rogan leave. We're seeing all these people who are moving out. One of my favorite guys ever is David Rubin. Dave Rubin for the Rubin Report. He just left, the guy that founded Locals. One of my favorite guys to listen to, guys. I highly recommend the Rubin Report with Dave Rubin. Everybody's leaving California. And it's so funny because the only way that the California government, Los Angeles, and Gavin Newsom can like advertise, hey, come to California is, oh, listen, if you come to California, you can kill your baby. Come here and you can kill your baby, guys. Wouldn't it be great if you could kill your baby? Come to California. That's literally what Gavin Newsom is doing. It's like so perverted. I can't even address it without getting so angry. We're joined by Eric Early. I know we've had some technical difficulties getting him on, but I believe he is on right now. Like I said, he's running for Attorney General in the state of California in 2022. He was running against Adam Schiff in 2020 for Congress. And then, Mike, I'll let you introduce Eric a little bit more.
Look, I want to say something. There are a few people that I like. There's Orrin Hatley and Eric Early and a handful of others that I am very proud and I have to stand shoulder to shoulder with. Eric and I have been up and down California. He just finished outside the top two for general. But Eric, we gave you a great introduction before you logged on. I'm going to give it to you again. I'm incredibly proud to introduce a man who is a true fighter against wokeism, against the corrupt California cabal. Everybody out there, a gentleman who not only has his own radio show, but a true fighter. Eric, welcome to TNT Radio.
Thanks, brother. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on. Mike, you probably said it, but yes, I was running for California Attorney General, but there were five of us in the race, and the primary was June 7th, and then it took another month to count up all the votes, and I was neck and neck with a very moderate person who calls himself a Republican to get into the top two. And by the time it all was said and done, we were just outside the top two. So I'm no longer running for Attorney General, which is a true pity. Gotcha. because we need somebody like me running in this race. And I know Netter agrees with that 1,000,000%. So there you go.
Yeah.
Eric, let's talk a little bit. Go ahead, Owen. But Eric, I want to explain, spent an hour talking about corruption, which is on both sides of the aisle, right? And the fact that California really needs people that will speak up their mind. And for everybody out there, and Owen, I want to cover this here because I was saving it for this hour. as Attorney General, the power that the California Attorney General right now, who's a leftist socialist idiot, right, and probably remain in power as Attorney General, the power that you have as an attorney to investigate a lot of this garbage going on in California, which affects the world.
Well, the Attorney General oversees the California Department of Justice, and the California Department of Justice has several thousand lawyers employed by the state of California in it. And one of the things that I was absolutely talking about doing, frankly, I was the only one in the race talking about it, and was to investigate, use the resources of the Department of Justice to investigate the flat out corruption that is going on in our California government as we speak. You know, the public employees unions in the state of California, starting with the California Teachers Association, the SEIU, a couple others, they own Gavin Newsom. They own the present attorney general, who calls himself a Democrat, who I believe is a flat out Marxist, frankly. They own the majority of what I call the members of the California Politburo, which is our legislature. And as a result, anything these unions want, they get done. Almost always to the detriment of the people of California. When they tell Newsom to jump, Newsom's only response is, how high? The same thing for the Attorney General Bonta, and the same thing for the others. And how do they own these politicians? All you have to do is look at the millions of dollars that these public employees unions are donating, their PACs are donating to Gavin Newsom, to this guy Bonta, the attorney general is running against, to these others in the Politburo. And it's they own them. And one of the great ironies, and it's disgusting, is that all of this money at the end day is taxpayer money, because the public employees get paid by taxpayer money. That's why they're public employees. Teachers, so many nurses, so many firefighters, so many police, so many of the just the SEIU, state employee public union, and they get millions and millions. And then these unions cause the PACs, the union PACs, to turn around and give huge amounts back to keep these people in power. And it's a revolving door. It's a reason why, for example, AB5 passed in this state, which outlawed independent contractors in the state of California, because this entire system pushed through AB5. And why did the public employees unions want AB5 so bad? Because it forced employers to turn independent contractors into paid employees, paid union employees, who would then turn around and pay dues into the system. I could go on and on about it, but I was the only candidate, Attorney General candidate, talking about investigating all of that corruption. That corruption is going on as we speak.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And what I wanted to ask,
specifically, I'm right about it, brother. You don't have to think about it. I'm right about it.
Yeah, okay? the citizens of California is something that I like to talk about too, because I think that that's part of the issue. I think that. I'm from New York, and one of the perceptions I think that a lot of New Yorkers have from where I'm from is that people in California are vicious. You know, they're leftists, they're crazy, they're nuts. But it's actually not true. I think that the underlying problem, I want to ask your opinion on this, is whether there is a level of indifference, obliviousness, and almost ignorance in a lot of Californians. They're not necessarily concerned. They seem like they're unconcerned, indifferent, and kind of oblivious to a lot of these, you know, political issues, which is why maybe this leftist regime can run so rampant. What do you think about the level of responsibility that we can attribute to the citizens of California in allowing this to occur?
Well, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the citizens, right? It's the citizens who vote. So let me just respond to what you just said. First of all, as Netter and I know, because we traveled the state campaigning for the last year, there are millions of Californians in this state who are fed up, who are pissed off, who want a change in this state, who support conservative values. You will never hear about them because the mainstream media almost across the board doesn't want people to know they exist. We knew that we know they exist. That's why, for example, I got almost 1,200,000 votes in my primary. Okay. Because we were speaking to those people, just like Netter and Orrin were speaking to those people in the Newsom recall. But we do have unfortunately a great majority of Californians who, when you combine the following things together, they just frankly don't realize that these people they keep voting into power are voting in people who are against their own interests. And that combination is the mainstream media. There's a blanket in this state that controls the thought process in this state. The Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Sacramento Bee, the San Diego, whatever. So many of the local news channels, the social media, frankly, you combine that with flat out liars. Gavin Newsom is a lying sack. This guy Bonta, who's the attorney general, nobody even knows who he is. You combine those things together. You combine those things together with this huge amount of union money that allows these lying politicians to blanket our state with commercials, flat out disingenuous, misleading commercials. You put all these forces together, and this is what you have in California right now. I know that there are millions of people in this state can't stand what's going on. Most of the country would never know about it because you'd never hear about it from the people I just told you about. But there's something rumbling in this state. There's something brewing in this state. More and more Latino voters are done with Democrats. This is going to change. We had a great campaign. If I was still in the race, we had a chance to take this attorney general's race because of, among other things, a crime, et cetera. But here we are right now, and this is what we're talking about.
We're going to go to break a little bit early, but we will be back with Mike Netter and Eric Early right after the break.
Michael Parker on TNT Radio.
I thought that if you went through the sewers of a major urban area like London or New York City and you look for a particular thing, you could probably find just about, you know, whatever you wanted to find. And back in June, you know, they talked about finding polio in the sewers of London and then followed up that about a month later with polio in New York. Well, now the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, on Friday declared a state of emergency to boost polio vaccination rates, among more evidence that the virus is spreading. When we look at that against the landscape of COVID, monkeypox, and all the rest of it, it just seems like there is a lot of these types of things coming out of the woodwork. And it's unfortunate. So we will continue to stay on top of that.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Don't want the government to know what you're buying? Use cash. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I have the pleasure and the honor to be joined by Mike Netter and Eric Early. We are discussing California. What I want to ask Eric specifically, this is, I think, really important for you running as the attorney general, or, you know, we're running as the attorney general. I mean, for your future plans, for your future campaigns, what policy specifically, or policies specifically, are you most passionate about? Because it's by no means trivial that you are, you know, doing this. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of passion. It takes a lot of time and work ethic to do something like this, to run a campaign. It's by no means easy. And so I wanted to ask you, what policies are you most passionate about, especially as it relates to Los Angeles and California in general?
Well, Owen, for the attorney general, I mean, I'm passionate about giving government back to the people. I believe the words we the people. I believe in the words we the people. And we live in a state that I'm calling we the government. Gavin Newsom could not give a damn about the people of this state. And then it follows through to his Politburo members, et cetera, and to the guy I was running against. But the huge issues that were on my plate that I was running for and that I'll always fight for, Attorney General is the top law enforcement officer and legal officer in the state of California. There's 58 counties in California. They each have a district attorney. All the district attorneys report up to the attorney general. And the attorney general has the ability by law out here to take prosecutions away from what we have out here also are rogue prosecutors, like this flat out Marxist in LA County, where I'm sitting right now, named George Gascon. If I'd gotten the attorney general job and he had not been recalled, which is the situation now, he's still got the job. I would have gone in there. I would have instructed a team at the Department of Justice to look through every single one of Gascon's ongoing prosecutions to determine which ones we would pull away from him so that we could put the law-abiding citizens of LA County and California first again. Because right now here and in a couple other jurisdictions, they're putting the criminals first, and we're seeing the effects of them of it around the state. And I would have been fighting I would be fighting against this woke culture that has taken over, that goes all the way up to the guy that I call the low intelligence empty suit, where they are doing everything possible to water down our criminal justice system, flinging open the prison cells to let the felons run free. We had about 30,000 let go in the last 2 years, way before their times expired. No cash bail. Wow. We have a law out here that lets people steal up to $950 at a shot, $950 at a shot. You can do it 10 times a day, 20 times a day if you can figure it out. Nothing happens to you. So we would be fighting, I would have been fighting against this entire system out here that has turned California into what I call a criminal's paradise. I've got huge plans on what I would do with the homelessness situation. People who don't live in California just aren't able to wrap their brains around what we see out here and we live with out here every day of the week. It's an epidemic and it's terrible. Huge issue for me. I talked about government corruption, and another major issue for me, other major issues for me, and this is beyond just being attorney general, what's going on in our schools here, and I'll tell you about that if you want to talk about it. And I would have investigated the entire election system in this state, soup to nuts. As far as education, I run a great law firm, managing partner of a 30 lawyer, nationally recognized law firm, practice of courts all around the state, all around the country. Major clients, major cases. And about 5 years ago, I brought what is now considered the first lawsuit in the country ever against critical race theory, representing a great group of brave parents in Santa Barbara. We sued the Santa Barbara Unified School District. We sued the superintendent up there. We sued this group of what I would refer to as social justice warriors. I got a call from these parents that said, Eric, they're brainwashing our kids to hate America, dividing kids by race. We're trying to get the materials. The school district saying we're not entitled to see materials. We formed a group of parents called Fair Education Santa Barbara. I was the lead lawyer. We sued. We got the materials. Nobody had ever seen these kind of materials before. Nobody'd seen what goes on, how they divide kids by race, how they teach kids this sexually over the top insanity, et cetera, teach kids how to hate America. Somebody on our team got the materials to Betsy DeVos. She was the education secretary for Donald Trump. She got on President Trump. And that's what started, or one of the catalysts that started this movement against critical race theory, this gender and racial stuff going on around the country. As attorney general in this state, or whatever I run for in this state, I'm going to do whatever I can to stop it, because this stuff is going on in every single public school and most private schools in our state as we speak, starting in kindergarten. And again, I was the only one in my race even talking about this stuff. And that includes this rhino that's still running. So I have a lot of things I'm passionate about. But number one, it starts with three words: we the people.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Mike, to you, let's follow up with that about what you think specifically as it, you know, relates to education in California, because I think that this is a problem that's more national. I think that I'm from New York right now. Our Rochester City school districts are in shambles, and it's because of mismanagement. There's a lot of other issues like that, but what they're teaching in school is absolutely hideous. It's anti-American garbage, but there's something deeper too. It's almost as if that they don't want kids to have personal agency, which is a fundamental value. It's not as if they don't want kids to be patriot. It is that, but it's not just that. I think that there's an attack on our deeper, more fundamental values, Judeo-Christian values, individualism, liberty, freedom, responsibility. These things are not being taught. They're teaching that rather than your actions affect your outcome, which is what should be taught, which leads to responsibility, which leads to good students. It seems as if that they do not want there to be personal agency, especially for minorities, because they want them, it's about reinforcing this victim mentality. Mike, what are your opinions on this victimhood students are experiencing?
Schools should not be meant, to Eric's point, to talk about because you're white, because you're this, because you're that, you are a racist person, and let's talk about that. First off, as Eric well knows, we have spent 2 years in California trying to do school on Zoom, okay? And that's, by the way, been a lot around the world, because we're so afraid of even sending our students to school, and so many are behind. But the reality is this, that first off, when we talked earlier in the segment, and Eric, you missed that, but when I was on, you missed the good part, dude. When we talk about what is going to redeem California, what's going to redeem every country and every state is when students know basically that about we the people and know a little bit of civics. Where the expletive deleted, does the government get off trying to teach children values that they feel, will encourage them to think a certain way? Why not only not teach them the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, which is why the U.S. is falling behind and things like engineering, we're dependent on China, but also not teaching kids the basics of government. Civics is not just a Honda. Civics is actually something that kids need to learn about how their government works so they can be empowered to become we the people.
Yeah, let me just jump in there.
I was tossing it to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Give me a chance.
Listen, there is something fundamental going on in this country right now, okay? The reason that what is happening in our classes is so incredibly important to me, and I'm not the only one, to patriots all around this country, is that there is a battle of good versus evil going on in this country right now. There is a creeping, and it's getting faster and faster, that creep, socialist Marxist takeover of this nation. And
yes,
long ago, those who supported this socialist Marxist takeover of this country knew well that the schools could be used as transmission belts of this takeover. And that's not my words, transmission belts. They've used that for many years. And this takeover of our education system for that purpose has been growing and gathering from the far left, the most dangerous force in our country by far, for decades. Mm-hmm. And it is to the point now where there should, first of all, the woke, I refer to as the evil Marxist woke. That's what the woke are. There should be no question in anybody's mind where these woke who frankly hate this country have come from. They've gone through the indoctrination camps, which are their schools, their public and private schools. You know, I'm steeped in this stuff. You read, for example, Pete Hegseth's book, The Battle for the American Mind. Between kindergarten and the end of high school, they've gone through 16,000 hours of this indoctrination. This all now centers out of the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., which I think should be shuttered and dismantled. And it then gets filtered through every teachers' union, certainly in the blue states. The red states are doing whatever they can, or most of them, to push back on this stuff. Out here, we have the California Teachers Association, which is as radical a union as you can find. And they oversee these radicalized teachers through this state. And they are incorporating this stuff in every single lesson plan, in every single class. And it's all about how bad America is, how structurally racist America is, how white people are fundamentally racist, how white people are oppressors. Johnny, your grandfather, you might have loved your grandfather, Johnny, your great grandfather. They were racist oppressors. All brown people are victims, okay? Then this sexually over the top insanity, which I could talk about because I'm also very familiar with what's going on. My point is, if you want to save this nation, if you want to stop this ongoing takeover, which is happening as we speak in this country, we've got to get our hands back on our kids' educations. And that's why, for example, I so support what Ron DeSantis did with, for example, the parental rights bill, which I could talk on and on about.
We're going to talk about that. Can I cut you can I cut you both off? We have to go to a quick news break. We will be right back with Eric Early and Mike Netter after a quick news break.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. 2 minutes of silence will be observed across the UK at the end of Queen Elizabeth II's state funeral at Westminster Abbey on Monday, giving the public across the nation a chance to pay their respects to the late monarch. A federal judge has appointed retired federal judge Raymond Deary as special master to review what the FBI seized from former President Trump's Florida home and decide what, if anything, qualifies as privileged material.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I'm joined by Mike Netter and the wonderful Eric Early. We're talking about education, how important it is to get our hands, you know, back on what our kids are learning in school. Mike, you know, Eric just finished up talking about the importance of education, especially in California, what they're teaching, critical race theory, gender theory, this Marxist push, which focuses on tearing down instead of building up. We see that with history right now. It seems like we also have a crisis of narcissism in a lot of our students right now, at least the ones that I'm aware of, the ones that are around me, the teenagers that are growing up with this gender theory push, with this critical race theory push, which I believe is because it's centering their focus on things inside of themselves. Not subjective things, but things that are, you know, completely, that don't have any relation to your identity, your actual identity. They're not focusing on character, humanity, and scholarship, actions, things that actually matter, but instead focusing on your skin color, focusing on your sexuality. These are things that inherently make kids narcissistic, because the point of education is to broaden your horizon and scope, to focus on things outside of yourself, like math, science, astronomy, the wonders of all of those things. But instead, what these ideologies do is they focus these children's attention inside on things about you, that your identity matters first and foremost. Mike, what do you think about this crisis?
Well, let's cover what Eric was saying earlier, right? We talk about it like narcissism, but the reality is that what we're really saying is you don't have an identity. You're not a he, you're not a she, right? You can't use a friggin' pronoun, that you better go along with the damn system. And that if you disagree at all and have an opposing thought, then you are wrong. So we like to tell the kids that maybe, oh yeah, you could be narcissistic, you could be anything you want, as long as you don't disagree with the fact that you can't be anything that you want. It's kind of an oxymoron. And when Eric was talking about suing for CRT, what it really does is take a large portion of the population. And by the way, it says, look, if you're Hispanic, you're not going to succeed because it's someone else's fault. And if you're white, maybe that is your fault, but something that you're three generations did to go to someone that you never met that you don't know. The reality is this woke agenda that's in the schools right now, and Eric, I'm going to let you continue your rant in just 1 second, if you don't mind, or even if you do, has got to stop, because it's about making the kids think they have an identity with no identity at all. Oh, and I'm going to let Eric, if you don't mind, weigh in on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, frankly, I don't know about the narcissism and the identity and all this stuff. I'll tell you what I do know. If you want to save this country, we better get our hands on the kids' education, because, as I said, our classrooms are being used by very intelligent and very evil and dark people to take over this entire nation. And we are watching the impact and the effects as we speak right now, because we've had at least one generation, probably more, that have come through these indoctrination camps already. And there should be no question why traditionally American values are being turned into, we're being turned into, people like us, or certainly people like me, people like Netter, are being turned into the domestic enemies in this nation, when we have actual domestic enemies running this nation. When you revere the Constitution now, you're a domestic enemy. You're somebody who actually is trying to destroy democracy. When you support the nuclear family, you're a domestic enemy. When you support faith in God, you are in the domestic enemy camp right now. When you support and fight for all law-abiding citizens of all races, creeds, and colors, regardless of their skin color, you are somehow a racist now. You know, all of this thinking, when you don't want children starting at 5 and 6 years old in kindergarten to learn that there are 58 different genders of people, and to learn all about how you can be a boy or a girl, you could, no matter what you're born as, you can be anything you want to be, then segueing into this transgender stuff, that you are somehow a transphobe or where did all this come from? This is what is controlling the thinking in this nation right now. And it is taking down this nation. Where did it all come from? It came from these indoctrination camps. We have to get our hands on our kids' schools. I don't know about narcissism, whatever. I do agree with something you said before about personal responsibility. Part of this entire way of thinking and this entire way of teaching and thought is all about how you don't bear any personal responsibility. If something happens, if you do something wrong, well, it's not your fault. And that's a huge problem. And going back to the turning the races against each other, as you keep raising the next generation to hate white people and think that all brown people are victims, this is going to lead to a clash. It is building tremendous, tremendous anger and division in this country, and hatred between races. The only way white kids manage to get through this stuff is to basically say, I grew up as a white privileged person, and white people are bad, and I agree with you. And that's why so many, for example, of these American terrorists, which is Antifa, are these pasty, far left privileged white kids, because they've grown up being made to feel guilty about who the heck they are. And
I'm going to pile on.
About Mike, let me just finish one thing. When I talk about the problems in our schools, okay, This is a much deeper situation. It's a huge problem. And a lot of people in this country, more and more people are realizing it. That's why they're getting up and they go fight and they argue. They don't fight physically. They fight for their kids at these school board meetings. And that's why the other side is doing everything they can to shut the parents up, we the people up, in these school board meetings. You know, for example, out here in California, yeah, Newsom signs a bill that says school boards now have the right to have parents carted out if they cause a quote unquote disturbance. We all know what happened with the attempt to sic the Department of Justice of the United States and the FBI on parents. So there's a fundamental battle going on, raging. And one of the places it's happening is in our schools.
And what I've got to jump in here too, to the fact, again, like I talked about, you know, in the last segment, the shiny object. We spend so much time talking about esoteric. We must teach our kids sexuality and we must teach our kids about racism. Well, California ranks 47th through 50th. And again, for everybody out there, we're 40 million people, bigger than the population of Australia. But we rank damn near dead last in reading, writing, and arithmetic, the actual basic skills that we're supposed to send our kids to school to learn.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's right. There's so many technical problems that you deal with over a 3-hour show. It's crazy. But we're lucky that we're not dealing with too many tonight. I think both of you are absolutely right. We're going to cut to a quick news break a little bit early so I can give you guys the majority of the rest of the show to continue talking about Los Angeles and everything. So we are going to be right back with Eric Early and Mike Netter after the break.
The book has arrived, The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown, by me, Mark Morano.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The new book, The Great Reset, by yours truly, with a foreword by Sebastian Gorka, is now available. Have you ever wondered if you'll be happy if you own nothing? Have you ever wondered if you'd have no privacy, if your life would be just fine? Have you ever wondered why Bill Gates is gobbling up American farmland? Why there's a war on high-yield agriculture? Have you ever wondered why our global leaders are trying to create food shortages and energy shortages and car shortages? Well, wonder no more. My new book, The Great Reset, is out. It is 90 pages of footnotes. This book will serve as your guidepost through The Great Reset. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Anglo-American-led wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were justified as a war on terror following 9/11. But what if the official 9/11 narrative is a lie? Just like Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction or his human shredding machine. There's another side to 9/11 which the mainstream media won't expose. The official 9/11 narrative would have you believe planes crashing into the World Trade Center's Twin Towers led to their collapse. But do you know that World Trade Center Building 7 collapsed on the same day, September 11th, 2001? It was a 47-story skyscraper. It collapsed in under 7 seconds at 5:20 p.m., yet no plane crashed into it. A carefully planned controlled demolition would explain such a collapse, which occurred at close to free fall speed.
Late this afternoon, just before 5:30 p.m., the number 7 building at the World Trade Center also collapsed.
TNT Radio will cover this story to find the actual perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet with the Australian Code of Practice on Disinformation and Misinformation. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I'm joined by Eric Early and Mike Netter. I want to ask you guys both about this recent, I guess it's kind of recent at this point, but it still has far-reaching implications and consequences. We've been talking about education. We've been talking about critical race theory, the Marxist push in our schools. But I think that there's another issue that I want to ask both of you about, which is abortion. The Supreme Court has just, Roe v. Wade has been struck down, so now this power returns to the states. When we're talking about California specifically, what is the battle for abortion going to look like in that state?
I'm going to say something Eric did that was absolutely amazing on the issue is Eric actually debated on the air Gloria Allred on this, who for everybody out there doesn't know is an extreme left lawyer and a highly intelligent person. Eric, talk about the ridiculousness of California actually putting a constitution amendment on the ballot to waste our time.
Okay. Listen, Owen, what's going on in California is the same thing that we're seeing certainly in blue states all around the country, certainly in this country coming out of, the imbecile Biden's White House, is they've turned abortion into one of the main issues in this state and in this country. And it's a smokescreen to cover up the ongoing domestic suicide in our nation that these people, they are presiding over. Everything from the worst inflation we've seen in decades. So, people can't afford basically to live, so many hardworking people, to the war that Biden has us on the verge of getting into, potentially World War III, to every single thing that you can can talk about, to the Afghanistan withdrawal, to on and on and on. And so abortion is their perfect smoke screen. Listen, I'm pro-life, and I've been, an attorney for a long time. The Supreme Court ruling was the correct ruling. It was not a ruling based on whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. It was a ruling on a proper interpretation of our United States Constitution. Question was, is there a right to an abortion in the United States Constitution? Well, there's not. And that's what the ruling was. And then it said all decisions on abortion will be determined by the separate governments of the separate states. Here in California, while Bonta, the attorney general, and Newsom, the governor, and the other ones in the Politburo, the supermajority Democrats, are trying to make abortion the major issue of the day, here in California, abortion has been approved and accepted as legalized in California. And so the Supreme Court's ruling has frankly changed nothing with respect to whether or not a woman can have an abortion in the state of California. Nonetheless, you have Newsom, who's all about, he's Mr. Virtue. Every move Newsom makes, it's about showing how he cares about people, and he's full of garbage, okay?
Yeah.
While Newsom is having affairs with his best friend's wife, he's out there talking to us about how he cares so much about women and people and illegal immigrants and everything else. I mean, Newsom is a piece of, don't get me started. So yes, they've turned
it. He's a loser.
Turned it into a major election issue out here. And unfortunately, going back to some of the things I said at the beginning of the interview, you have this blanket of the mainstream media that supports the positions that Newsom wants, the tens of millions being pumped into the PACs supporting the campaigns from these, frankly, corrupt public employees unions, and the whole package. And so, yes, it has become an issue out here, even though these same people that are running the state have made everybody's life more dangerous, are still doing things that will make everybody's life even more dangerous. And so, yes, abortion's an issue here. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that there's a hidden problem also, maybe not hidden to people that want to look for it, but it's kind of a deeper issue that I tend to really seek out when talking about abortion, which is what exactly happens to these babies' bodies after they are aborted. That's a question that I think we need to ask in the States. What are we doing? You know, ethical research practices and laws and guidelines are in place that prohibit the sale and distribution of these babies' bodies after they are aborted. But these things are ignored and do not frankly happen. Planned Parenthood right now is come under investigation for their role in the distribution of baby body parts. You know, I mean, what would you do if, you know, are you running in the future, Eric? And, you know, I'd love to see you get into that position of power, especially as the Attorney General. What role do we have right now, especially as, you know, the Roe v. Wade being overturned, returning this power to the states and those states where abortion does become illegal? I mean, are we going to see doctors being prosecuted who perform these abortions? I mean, I can't even imagine the blizzard of lawsuits and litigation over this.
You know, that's certainly possible in those red states. It is in those states that are preventing abortions from happening. But, you know, let's not forget in Florida, I believe they're trying to get a law passed, even though Florida is a red state, that would allow women to have abortions up to, I believe it's 15 weeks, except in instances, rape, incest of the mother, and then they'd let it happen beyond the 15 weeks. So, you know, in California here, unfortunately, and several other of these states, apparently New York, they are talking about allowing abortion up until birth, which is flat out psychoness, psycho murder. So, you know, there are discussions that can be had, but, you know, as I said, I'm pro-life. And one of the things that gets lost in the sauce, and it's something that I talked about when I was debating Gloria Allred on Alex Michelson's show out here, was which is called Inside Politics. Was that what's it called, Mike?
The issue is.
Thank you, man. So there are millions of women in this country who are pro-life. They are very much against abortion. But people like me and people who are pro-life, who are males, we're turned into somehow people who don't want to give women any choice, and we want to lord over women like it's 100 years ago, and men should just tell women what to do with their bodies. There are millions of women in this country who are being completely disrespected by the abortion lobby in this country, and they're being ignored, and so you know, those women are allowed to have a voice as well in this country, and so too are so many in this country that want to help. If a woman doesn't want to keep her baby, they want to help that woman go through the process of having her baby, give it up for abortion, etc., or not abortion, for adoption, etc. And those organizations are now being pummeled on, frankly, by the far left. I mean, I have a TV show on another station. I was just talking to somebody yesterday who's one of the people who runs an organization called Compass Care in New York. And when that first draft of the ruling came out of the Supreme Court, it wasn't even the final version. Compass Care's pregnancy center in Buffalo, New York, was firebombed. It was firebombed, terribly firebombed.
I've worked with Compass Care. They're great people over there.
Great people. So they have, as you probably know, they had security cameras. They captured the images of the people doing the firebombing. They captured images of their cars. They turned everything over to the local law enforcement and to the FBI. And now we're almost 4 months later and nothing has happened. And they are starting to, and they're getting the impression, and so am I, that the FBI, this highly politicized FBI, is not doing the proper investigation of these flat-out American terrorists who bombed Compass Care in Buffalo, and also who attacked upwards of approximately 50 other pro-life centers around the United States. This is what we're dealing with in this country, and people have to hold their ground and stand their ground. And frankly, if we had a fair and honest media in this state, and if we had candidates who are not getting buried by millions from these public employees unions, we'd be winning these races in California right now. But I'm going to tell you something else, Owen, and tell your listeners wherever they are. Netter knows this. I know this. There is a movement of the grassroots in this state, and I had the total support of the grassroots in this state. In fact, my biggest opponent was the mainstream of the California Republican Party, who believes that you have to act and sound and be a Democrat to be elected out here. Well, Netter and I reject that, and all of our supporters reject that. But there is a movement afoot. The grassroots is growing and gathering. It crosses party lines. More and more Hispanic Americans who are conservative, you know, they're God-fearing, they love their families, they're hardworking, are voting Republican. We will get back this state. I don't think it's going to be in this election cycle, but it's coming. And yes, I am planning to run again, as Netter knows. I'm not sure for exactly what yet. We're talking constantly, but you know, we're optimistic at the end of the day, even in these dark times.
And when this speaks to, when you talk about abortion, when you talk about any issue we talk about, be it crime, be it CRT, what the left is trying to squash under the term being woke is the fact that any opinion which disagrees, that if a man disagrees with an issue, that frankly, if a woman disagrees with this issue, they must be being crushed by a man. The reality is this. A huge portion of people like we talk about, right, are just for flipping common sense, okay? You have to have common sense. And the left, which is the extreme left, let's be clear, it's not even the average Democrat or the party of the left, as we call it here. It's not the average person. It is these people that Eric is referring to that are backed by really big money that want to keep their politicians in power. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to use socialistic concepts to crush any dissension of opinion. And that's the reality. And that cannot happen in a free society. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to both of you, everybody. That was Mike Netter. We always love having him on. Eric, could you give everybody just a little taste of what you're doing next, what you're excited about, where they can find you, and where they can reach you?
Well, you know, I've got a daily show on crntalk.com, Cable Ralph Nancy Talk.com, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon every day. It's live. Also, you can read more about me and email me and write me at early@crntalk.com, early@crntalk.com, or you can go to my website, Eric Early for CA, and Early is E-A-R-L-Y, Eric Early for F-O-R-C-A.com, and that you can see more about me there. And as far as what we're going to be doing next, you know, I'm talking about these issues constantly. I'm constantly meeting with people up and down the state and in various parts of the country. And Netter and I are talking on a daily basis about what I'm going to be running for next. But one of our battles right now is to get hold of this California Republican Party and turn it into a party of conservatives again, and not a party of rhinos.
But hold on one second. Wherever you are around the planet, even if you can't get the radio signals that we're on, Eric, you forgot to mention something that goes across global lines. Eric is on Facebook, like Rebuild California is. If you want to see the show that Eric does 5 days a week and a special one on Friday night, if you want to watch the Rebuild California Town Hall, Facebook, it certainly goes across any broadcast lines.
Thank you for reminding me, Netter. Every Friday night, I do a live Facebook stream from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that's Eric Early, my Eric Early Facebook site. I think it's Eric Early 4CA. I think that's my Facebook link. And it then is posted up there on Facebook, and we get a couple thousand people who end up watching it every week.
Awesome.
As it's posted. So, yeah, check it out. Owen, check it out. Have us back on your show. It's a pleasure talking
to you. Absolutely, I will.
It's great talking to all your listeners and viewers out there.
Yeah.
in radio and TV land.
Thank you very much, Owen, for having us today. We appreciate it.
That was Mike Netter and Eric Early, everybody. Thanks to both of them. Very grateful to have them on. Well, that concludes our show today. Thank you for tuning in. I'm very grateful, guys. The fact that you would listen, that's an honor that I get and a privilege to give you radio from at home and abroad. So thank you for tuning in to the Michael Parker Show. Shannon Joy is on next with myself. Me and Shannon are going to be discussing a recent story involving the push for LGBTQ agenda in schools. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.